Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this word inspired by your Spirit. And we pray that as we turn to it now, you would help us to see more of who you are as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask in your name. Amen. Well, it's not an unusual human experience that someone we care about goes away. It might be the deep upset of bereavement as a friend or loved one dies. It might be the more temporary sadness when a friend or family member we seldom see says goodbye after a visit in order to return home. Parting so often involves sorrow. Well, when Jesus' friends are gathered the night before he died in that upper room in Jerusalem, they're filled with sorrow, along with anxiety and stress. He has just told them, chapter 13, "Where I am going, you cannot come." And they say to him, chapter 14, verse 5, "We do not know where you are going." See, their lives have been so completely taken up with Jesus over the previous few years that the thought of him leaving was understandably devastating. What future could there be without Jesus? How very strange then that Jesus says to them in our reading, which is on page 1086, "You heard me say to you, I am going away. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced." They should be glad that Jesus is not going to be with them. Can he mean this? Well, later that same evening, he says, chapter 16, verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Well, what on earth could Jesus mean? Well, the answer is centered on the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God, the one Christians remember coming in a new and profound way to God's people that festival day of Pentecost in Jerusalem after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, as we've just read about in Acts chapter 2. So why is it better that Jesus leaves? Well, firstly, because the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' presence to all believers. In verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Jesus' friends had come to believe in Jesus and enjoyed him being with them as their helper in so many ways. But though Jesus, their helper, is going, they are not going to be left alone. Jesus, God the Son, asks God the Father to send another helper to be with his friends. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth." God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with those who believe in Jesus. Now, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit here as another helper. The word has the sense that the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind as Jesus. This Spirit is not a mere power or influence, but a divine person. And though he is a different divine person to the divine Jesus, he will be and do for Jesus' people just what Jesus would do if he were present on earth with us now. Now, this is one of the great truths about the Holy Spirit that we need to remember. The Spirit or breath of God, whom we encounter hovering over the face of the waters as God the Father, and as John reminds us, God the Word, who would be made flesh in Jesus, made the world. The eternal Spirit, who came to equip prophets to bring God's word and kings to rule God's people in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, who came with visible signs on the day of Pentecost to illustrate his divine power and purity, is another helper. You might even say another Christ to fulfill the role that Jesus had done up to this point. Now, some years ago when I worked in the university world, I came across a student who had been rather confused by the somewhat wacky activities of some of the people who were claiming unusual happenings in God's name that he knew. And he said to me, "You know, I can cope with Jesus, but I can't cope with the Holy Spirit." Now, I can sort of understand his perplexity given some of the questionable things that were being claimed, but a genuine work of the Holy Spirit is linked to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work is to point to Jesus, to bear witness to Jesus, as Jesus says in chapter 15, verse 26. "He will glorify me," says Jesus of the Helper in chapter 16. And other parts of the New Testament speak of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit then helps us like Jesus would help if he was still on earth in his body. And that's one of the reasons why it's better that Jesus goes. Then he can be with all believers all over the world at the same time. So he can be with Nicholas Haydock when he returns to Pakistan later this year, and Rick and Alana Crichton in Nigeria, as well as Lester serving Jesus at school, or Jill in her treatment room. Jesus has not left us on our own. He is present with us by his Holy Spirit wherever we are. So we don't need to think wistfully, "If only I had been there in the first century, that would have been better. I could have been with Jesus. Then I could have seen him and heard his voice." Sometimes people make trips to the Holy Land and somehow expect that being in the land where Jesus walked will bring the presence of Jesus closer somehow. Often they're disappointed. The wonderful truth is that we could not actually be nearer to Jesus than we are because the Holy Spirit lives within believers. Now, this presence of Jesus that the Holy Spirit brings has a remarkable and profound depth. Jesus tells us that he comes to believers himself through the Holy Spirit. And whilst the Spirit of truth is not understood by non-Christians, verse 17, "The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him," to those who are his friends, Jesus says, verse 17, "He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Now, this promise now means that Jesus is with us. Jesus, raised to life, is the source and giver of eternal life, and he's fully connected to his people because of the presence of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, coming to live in Christians by the Holy Spirit, brings a deep personal connection with God the Father as well. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you," says Jesus. And then verse 20, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." That means that believers who live for Jesus will know Jesus with them and in them, and also God the Father with them. Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The greatest human problem, being separated from our Maker by our sin, has been solved. Because, as John chapter 1 puts it, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His people are cleansed and made acceptable to God. And God the Father, along with Jesus, God the Son, by the presence of God the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in our lives. Have you thought how amazing that is? That even though we've turned away from God, through Jesus' reconciling work on the cross, as we remember in Bread and Wine this morning, God is able to be at home in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Back in Old Testament times, God promised that through the prophet Ezekiel that the blessing of the new covenant would be that I will dwell amongst them, my people. Well, this has now come true. Weak and needy people who are drawn to Jesus and are enabled to believe in him and live for him find that they become the residence of God himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Trinity, is with us. Well, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' presence to all believers. But what difference does that presence make in our lives? Well, the Holy Spirit helps by giving strength to serve Jesus and to live for him. Do you remember the key word that Jesus uses here in John's Gospel to speak? Of the Holy Spirit, the helper. Now, the original word is sometimes translated as our hymns and prayers reminders as the counselor or the comforter or the advocate. This word points to the reality that the Holy Spirit is one who, as Jesus would do if he were physically present with us, comes alongside us in order to help. To encourage, to strengthen, to support, to equip. On Wednesday morning at our Holy Communion service, we read in Romans 8 of how Jesus, having ascended, is now interceding for his people in heaven. Jesus is, if you like, our helper, our representative in the presence of the Father, pleading the benefits of his death on the cross, and making possible access to the Father's presence. What we see here, in what Jesus says the night before he dies, is that the Holy Spirit is Christ's representative in our hearts. The helper makes Jesus real to us, and brings to us the help that we need. Now, the rest of the New Testament shows us that the Holy Spirit's help comes to us to enable us to serve, giving gifts and talents. And he helps us, as we've seen illustrated in the book of Acts over recent weeks, to witness to Jesus, to make him known to those around us. He also works, as Jesus goes on to explain in chapter 16, in people who do not yet believe, in order to draw them to Jesus. But here in John 14, we especially see the helper helps us, in that we are not left on our own in living holy lives for Jesus. Having been drawn into a deep connection with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christians are to become more godly in their lives. Jesus said at the start of the reading, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." This points perhaps especially to the command that he had just given when washing his disciples' feet, to love one another as I have loved you. But it involves all his commands. Verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." It involves all that Jesus teaches. Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." See, being a Christian involves living for Jesus and keeping his word from the Bible. And that is demanding. But the great truth is we are not left on our own. The Holy Spirit equips us to live more holy lives. And having his presence in our lives gives us strength not to simply go with the flow of the non-Christian world around us, but rather to live out the good news. Well, this again fulfills the Old Testament prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, where God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, we're not left on our own in living holy lives. But also the helper helps us to understand Jesus' message from the Bible. Jesus said, verse 26, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now, these words are especially for the first hearers, those who heard Jesus' words and later recorded them for us. It's a great reassurance that we can be confident that we have Jesus' word in the New Testament because the Holy Spirit helped these apostles to accurately remember what he said. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, verse 17, taught the New Testament writers the truth about Jesus, who had, just earlier in the evening in chapter 14, verse 16, described himself as the truth himself. The same Spirit, by using the written word that he has inspired, then helps us to understand about Jesus and his good news and how to live for him. You see, the Spirit of God is intimately linked to the Word of God. And many have been remembering D-Day this last week and the suffering and sacrifice involved. And of course, World War II involved suffering in many places all over the world. In his book, Miracle on the River Kwai, Ernest Gordon tells what happens to some desperate Allied troops who were prisoners of war in Burma when they read the Bible. Through our readings and discussions, we gradually came to know Jesus. He was one of us. He would understand our problems because they were the kind of problems he had faced himself. As we read and talked, he became flesh and blood. What he was, what he did, what he said, all made sense. That is the work of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus' teaching and the Bible as a whole that the Holy Spirit inspired comes alive. Well, parting usually involves sorrow. But as Jesus explained to his friends before his death, his departure would actually be to their advantage. They could even rejoice in it. Jesus leaving them would be better for Jesus, as he was to return to heaven and his Father, as the reading shows us at the end. But from the Christian's point of view, it is good because on leaving, Jesus will ask the Father to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Helper brings Jesus' presence to all believers, helping us like Jesus would if he were here physically. And the Helper helps by giving strength to serve Jesus and to live for him, knowing his message through his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for your grace to us. And we pray that you would strengthen us afresh with your grace through him. Equip us to live for Jesus, we pray. Amen.